Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
Good morning. Well, let's pray first. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For what a privilege. I just thank you. You are so wonderful. I thank you for this gift to be able to share about your beloved son, Jesus. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will just let your life, your words, your love, your light come forth today and minister to each one as each one of us need it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I just love that we sang that song this morning because I had no idea that we were going to sing No Other Name. And that's all that was on my mind this morning when I woke up. I couldn't even think about what he had put on my heart to share. All I could do was think, there is no other name, no other name under heaven by which man can be saved but the name of Jesus. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Javen had asked me to share just a little bit of my testimony. So you're going to get a little. I really didn't want to do it. I'm going to start out with this. And I was just like, oh. Well, on Friday morning, I went for a walk, and one of my neighbors who had killed and removed a snake from my back patio pool area was out in his driveway, and he goes, told me his wife had left to go visit their daughter, and he had taken the day off, and then he looked right at me, and he says, so tell me about your life. And I'm going, that's going to take too long. And then I looked up, and there was a rainbow, not a whole sky full, but a rainbow in the sky. Well, as I walked, I realized, oh, my word, Lord. It was like he was chuckling and saying, do I have to hit you with the 2x4? Is a rainbow enough? And somebody directly asking you. So I wanted to. I grew up in a Presbyterian church. And really, we didn't talk a lot about how to get saved or anything like that. But we were always in church. Daddy made sure that we were in church. And so I went through confirmation. You do that when you're in the sixth grade. And something must have happened because I insisted that I get a cross to wear. But I didn't know. But I just believe I got saved at that age. And so then, you know, you get into high school. You do your own stuff. You sort of ignore God. You go away to college. You really have a good time. And you're trying... You're trying to ignore how you were raised. But the keeping power of the Almighty God kept me. He kept me. I don't know anything else to say. Jesus and the Word, and who is the Word? Jesus, kept me. And then I got married, and we had kids, and it was 1975, and my daddy died, and I wasn't doing a great job of handling that. He was a good father. I had a good mom and dad. They were very strong-willed, but they were excellent parents, and I knew I was loved. So, in the meantime, a Jewish girl that was a believer in Jesus moved in next door to us. We were living down in Hollywood, Florida. And she, she was fired up. And she came to my door before I ever had a chance to go over and meet her and said, hi, I'm Mona. I'm saved. Are you saved? And this snooty Presbyterian Methodist by then goes, of course. You know, well, so that gave her an open door. And she started talking to me about the things of the Lord. And so in the process of all of that, after my daddy died, I was sitting in my family room, just sitting there, being miserable. And I said, God, if what all Mona's telling me is true, I just say, here I am. And nothing crazy happened. I didn't have any wild feelings. The only thing that happened was I had the greatest urge and desire to get up and go find my Bible that my grandmother had given me years and years and years before that I sort of read and sort of didn't. Well, I found that Bible in the bookshelf, started reading, and honestly, I have to say I've never put it down. He just did that in me. And so I started preaching to my husband all the time. And we had a wonderful marriage. He was a wonderful man, a wonderful father, a wonderful husband. But things started getting kind of weird because I was constantly reading to him and telling him. And one day I'm sitting there and I'm going, Lord, what's the matter here? Dan's gotten so quiet. And he says, if you will sit down in that gold chair of yours and zip your mouth, I'll take care of him. So I did. I sat down, and it was in October when I made that commitment to the Lord. In April, Dan got saved. And we started our growth together in the Lord, and it was wonderful. And it's been marvelous ever since. And then many years after that, I won't tell you how many, my husband passed away, and that's been a lot of years ago. And I have found out, and this is really the truth, and I'm not joking, God, and it had always been true, but then it became a reality to me through these last 16 years. He takes care of those people that cannot take care of themselves. He truly does. He is so wonderful. He has taught me that I am his beloved and he is mine. No matter what the circumstances are, Jesus and the grace of God is bigger than all of it. And so, it's been a wonderful journey ever since. There have been ups and downs, hard times, but his healing power, his grace, when you just say, I can't, I don't even know what to pray, he does it somehow. And I don't know how to explain that. And I know y'all have all experienced that. So I want to start out by just saying, before the beginning, before there was anything, because we sang all about love this morning, before there was a universe, or maybe 18 universes, who knows how many there really are, before there was an earth, before there was our solar system, before there was anything, there was love. Because doesn't scripture tell us that God is love? So you go to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, sometime back, a few months ago, this thought all hit me, and I started, in place of saying God, everywhere it says God, I started reading it, and I think I shared some of this in the Bible study, but it's just changed my life. It's rearranged my whole interior. Instead of saying God, I say love. Unless I'm just going to turn over there. Excuse me. And just read it just a little bit. In the beginning, love created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the spirit of love was hovering over the face of the deep, of the waters. Then love said, let there be light, and there was light. And love saw the light, that it was good, and love divided the light from the darkness. And you go on, and every time you see God, you say love, because over in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, he has, for those who are born of the Spirit, you know, we're born of the flesh, and then we're born of the Spirit. Things, what is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. For those who are born of the spirit, born again, his love has been poured out into our hearts. Not because he's just given us a little bit of love, but because he is love and that he is in us. And so that love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Then you get into, okay, we're gonna kind of do this today a little bit. But in chapter 2, it says that it's explaining a little bit more how God created man and all of that. And it says that he formed man out of the dust. And I know y'all all know this, but I just want to lay a little bit of foundation. That he created man out of the dust of the earth, of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He became a living being. He breathed into him. Oh, my word. Adam and Eve, before the fall, when all those animals and all that, whatever, all was there, looked at him and them, they saw God's image walking around on the earth. He was clothed with the glory of God, the very image of God. They did not see man like we see man now. It was a totally different look. Because we know that, because when they sinned and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they looked at themselves and thought they were naked. That's because they had lost the image and the likeness of God. And they just looked like a human that, you know, they can't even grow their own clothes like the animals can. You have to go buy them or make them or something. And the mercy of God was so awesome. They tried to cover themselves up, you know, with the fig leaves, but God shed blood of an animal, his graciousness, his mercy, and covered them with that clothing. Maybe it was a lamb, we don't know, but whatever. Anyway, so God breathed into man and he became a living being. Then man sinned and lost that, because God said, on the day that you eat of that fruit, you will die. And that means he didn't die physically. That would come later. But he died spiritually. And the image and the glory was taken away. Then, just go back for a second. In saying, in the beginning, love created. You know, remember 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter? Years and years ago, we used to do this. I bet a bunch of y'all have done this. You would read through there, and everywhere it said love, you would say God. Well, that was good. But for some reason, this turning it around like that has really changed everything. But when you're reading the Old and the New Testament, try that. Do it. And just see what it does to your spirit on the inside. It just ignites the love that is in there. So, okay, let's fast forward, and I want to talk about the breath of life a little bit. Over in Psalms 33, let me just quick flip over there. There's a really cool scripture. Verse 6, Psalm 33, verse 6, it says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. He just spoke, and everything came into being. Sound turned into things, light, stuff, trees, animals. I mean, imagine that. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. By the breath of his mouth. And then you go to John chapter 1, and it says, in the beginning was what? Does anybody? In the beginning was the Word. Wait a minute. Let me get over there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with love, and the Word was
love. The Word. He was in the beginning with love. Jesus was there. The Word is love. He, and then the Word became flesh, and he even knew what it was like to know God as a human, even though he was God. I mean, he's so big and so far beyond and so above and super abundant, more than we can even think or imagine. It just blows your mind. Okay. Then, go backwards a minute. Job, and I didn't put this on the thing because I didn't find it until afterwards. But Job 34, this is really cool. Job had some awesome revelation, and his friends did too. 34 verses 14 and 15. And he's talking about God here. If he, love, should set his heart on it, if he should gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together, and man would return to dust. We are alive and well and walking around because he leaves his spirit and his breath here with us. Is that awesome? If he wanted to just go, oh my word, we might all disappear. I don't know what kind of theology that is, but Elihu said that in the book of Job. And it's like, whoa, that's how awesome and fabulous and wonderful he is. There's no one like him, none. Okay, now, fast forward, think about the breath he breathed into Adam. If he withdrew his breath, we would all disappear. Everything would go. Okay, Jesus manifested, the Word manifested in the flesh. He lived, and y'all, this is all so basic. I know y'all all know this, but I'm just sort of wanting to lay some groundwork here. He came as a man. He lived on the earth as a man. He was supernaturally from the Father, from love. He did not have the blood of Adam in him. He had the blood of God, of love in him. But yet he was 100% man and 100% God, and I don't understand all that, but it's wonderful. It's marvelous. And I just say, yes, okay, thank you, Lord. He became the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. He took all of our discouragement, all of our hurt, all of our agony, all of our sickness, all of our disease, all of our pain, all of our nastiness, all of our yucky, everything on himself. He who knew no sin, he knew no sin. There was no sin in him. Listen to this. And I know y'all thought about this, but it blows my mind because I know me and I know some of y'all. He never even had a thought that was sinful. He never sinned in even one little thought. So he took all of that, took it to the grave, died, left it in the grave when he rose up, and then ascended, and now seated at the right hand, and it says we are seated there with him when we are believers. Okay, when he rose, he walked around here on this earth for, was it 40 days? Something like that. And showed himself to his disciples, to his friends, his, you know, the people that were there living at that time. And so we're going to skip right to John chapter 20, verse 22. He was visiting with them in the room where they were hiding and they were scared. And he came and walked in there. And it says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them. And what he said was, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. He didn't expect us to do all of that in our own strength. Because earlier he said, the Son can do nothing of himself, but only as a Father. But anyway, he said that, and then he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. That scripture has puzzled me for years, and I think I've even talked to Bill about it before. It's like, well, maybe this is what that's about. Okay, he breathed on them, received the Holy Spirit. He was breathing life into them like he did all that time ago with Adam. So that breathing on them at that time was for life. So then you fast forward to the book of Acts, chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit comes, like with the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Oh my goodness. That time, and they were all filled with the Spirit. I think that was for power. The first one was for life. This one was for power. Now we get it all in one whack if we want to. Anyway, now, go back to Ezekiel, the dry bones. Oh my goodness. In that one chapter, chapter 37 of Ezekiel, if you want to read it later, it talks about the breath. God tells Ezekiel, breathe on these dry bones. Prophesy to them. But he uses the word breathe. And then it talks about the four winds coming, the wind of the Holy Spirit. Then it talks about the Spirit. I mean, it's all prophesied right there in the book of Ezekiel. It's amazing. So, in Acts, the Holy Spirit came, breathed on them, life, power. And then Jesus was ascended and the church began. And I'm so glad that the book of Acts was written by a doctor. Because when I don't know if y'all were under this kind of bondage, but I got under the bondage that it was wrong to go to the doctor. And Gabby, your testimony, I loved it this morning because it fit right in. We got under that word of faith thing that there's a lot of really good to it, and I'm not bad-mouthing it. But I got under the bondage of thinking, ooh, I can't ever go to the doctor. I just believe on the name of Jesus. Well, Luke is the one that wrote it, and what was he? He was a physician. And so they had a physician right there with them, writing all of this about all the miracles and all of that. Let me just look here a minute. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about Paul and Silas. Neither one of them were one of the 12 disciples, but they had encounters with love, with Jesus Christ, the resurrected God of all gods, King of all kings, wonderful counselor, mighty God. He's awesome, our beloved, the whole thing. They had personal encounter, and they were filled with the life and the power of God. And they had a knowing and a knowledge of him that is so far above and beyond what most of the body worldwide of Christ is walking in. We're walking in such a low level sometimes, and I'm not saying that for condemnation because he doesn't condemn, but he's saying, come on up, arise, come on, the winter's past, the flowers are blooming, let's get with it. And Paul and Silas and all those guys back there knew that. Well, so turn over in Acts to chapter 16. They were going out preaching, sharing the good news, telling about Jesus, how good he is. And they were in Antioch or Athens, one of those towns. I'm sorry, it's just gone out of my mind. But there was this little slave girl that was going around, and she was owned by her master, and she brought a lot of money to him because she could tell the future and tell things, and they used her to make profit. And as Paul and Silas are preaching, this little slave girl was going around, and she was saying, well, in verse 16, it says, "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying," now listen to what this spirit said, "these men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Is that truth? That spirit in her was speaking truth. That's interesting. "This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out at that very hour." Now, I would say that he had discerning of spirits, didn't he? He discerned that even though she was speaking out of her mouth a truth, he discerned it was a spirit. And it was disturbing. And so he commanded that spirit to leave and to get out, and it did. So the owner got really mad, and because he lost his means of income. And so they caused a big ruckus and said that they were teaching the Romans ways that they shouldn't go and all of this kind of stuff. And the leadership, the council, and all that got mad, and they decided to beat them up and throw them in jail and get rid of them because they were disturbing the whole foundation of the way that they lived. And they didn't like it. So they beat them they took their clothes off, they beat them up with a rod, and threw them in prison. And in verse 24 it says, "Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." They were praying and singing to God. It doesn't say what they were praying, but they were worshiping. And that word singing praises means, when I looked it up, it means to celebrate God with song. And the prisoners were listening, and that means to listen attentively. They were hearing what they were saying, and they were listening. And what happened? Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosened. That was a literal thing that happened because of who they were in and who was in them and the power of God that was in them. Literally, that happened. I had never thought beyond that until a few weeks ago, and most revelations get is a compilation of a lot of things that we've heard through the years. Nothing is just totally unique to the individual. And so nobody can get credit but God and the Holy Spirit. Love. So love began to reveal to me, maybe you want to look at this a little differently. And I go, okay, well, how? And the prisoners were listening. And all of heaven was listening. Remember over in chapter 5 of Revelation where it said John was crying because nobody was worthy to open the seals. And then the angel says, don't cry. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God, is worthy to open the seals. And when he said that, okay, let me just do this quick. In verse 8, it says, now he took the scroll, and the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Interesting. And they sang a new song. They were worshiping. They were saying, you are worthy to take the seal and to open its, to take the scroll and open the seals, because you were slain and you've redeemed us to God. They were singing a new song of praise and worship. I believe they were also prophesying, but that's just me. And then you go over to chapter 8, and it says there were thousands, 10,000s, millions, billions singing. The creatures were singing. The angels were singing. Whoever was up there was singing. And they were saying, worthy is the Lord who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Then in chapter 8, starting at verse 3 through 5, it talks about another angel having a golden censer and came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunders, lightnings, and earthquake. When we pray and worship and honor him in our worship and sing songs of praise, now, and I'm glad he says somewhere, you make a joyful noise, because I don't have any kind of voice, but I can make a joyful noise. We worship, we pray, we sing, and the angels get involved, and something happens on earth. And that's what happened right here with Paul and Silas. Something happened. The foundation of the jail was shaken. There was an earthquake. The doors all flung open. And the chains were opened off of the people. They were out of the stocks. And one of the miracles was none of the prisoners left. They just stayed there. Now, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? I would want to get up and run and get out of there. And the jailer had fallen asleep, so he didn't hear all of that. And he woke up, and he was getting ready to kill himself because he thought everybody had left and he would be in major trouble. And Paul says, don't go. Don't do that. We're all here. We're all here. And the jailer, I don't know how much of what he heard that they were praying and singing, but with all of that happening and the doors being flung open, the foundation being shaken, I saw it in a new light. Those people were prisoners of wrong way of thinking. And the foundation of their thinking was shaken to the core. In Christ Jesus, our beloved Lord, our beloved bridegroom, every wrong thinking in us, if we will just say yes, Lord, will be shaken. And the doors and the chains that have kept us bound for eons, my whole life, so many of them, I've changed my mind on so many things because those doors have been flung open and the chains have been loosed off of me, and I walk free in Jesus to be who he created me to be. Oh, you can walk free to be who he created you to be. His image on the earth. His image on the earth. And what was the result of that? The jailer took him and ministered to him. But he says, what can we do to be saved? What can we do to be saved? What can we do the works of God? Remember that a few weeks ago, Javen was telling us? The work of God is to believe in the one who God has sent. And so that's what he told the jailer. Verse 31, it says, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. All those who are willing to come and believe will be saved. What a major miracle there. As the church gets revived and the doors are flung open and we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of love that lives within us, we will be free. The church, a lot of the church, the body, worldwide body of Christ, a lot of them are pretty much dead, should I say? And that's pretty bold, but asleep, let's say. They're just whatever. They will come alive. The doors will open. The chains will fall off. They will be free. As the church gets free and walks in the fullness of the Almighty God in that other unseen realm that we're living in already, oh my goodness, then it'll affect the world and the unbelievers. And everything will change. So that is the main thing that I wanted to bring to us this morning. Even in the worst of the worst of the worst of our situations, even when we feel like we can't even make it, we can't even breathe, the power of love lives inside of each one of you by the Holy Spirit. And when you just say, I can't, he rises up and he will move in your life and get you through whatever you need to get through. He will show you which way to go, what to do, and all that wonderful stuff. And the world and the church will see the light of the life, of the breath of life on you, coming out of you, and they will be set free. And it's just going to be so cool, so glorious. There might be a really hard stuff coming, but fear not. Let your heart not be troubled. Believe in the Lord. Trust him and let his life, his very breath, come out of you and minister to you and through you. In Jesus' name. So just let me pray for y'all. Lord, I just thank you for blessing my brothers and sisters in a way that is, in a way that each individual needs to have. You know every single thing going on in each one of their lives. You knew them before they were ever even created in the womb. And I just speak your blessing and your life and your light and your breath over each one of them. In Jesus' name, amen.